Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, when it comes to retirement, it's not just about how much you save, but it's about how much you keep. You know, taxes obviously can really eat into your nest egg if you're not strategic. So we want to talk about ways to keep more in your pocket using some smart, tax-efficient tools. We're going to cover that and more on today's show.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you, too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everyone. Cruising Through Retirement's the program. Kevin Brooker is here. Kevin has been helping folks for a long time getting to and through retirement. You know, you've got clients that have great-grandchildren.
Yes, I do.
Fair
I do.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Steve. I am good. It's always good to be here. And, yes, I've got some clients that have been with me, you know, since they're in their 60s, and now they're in their late 80s and 90s.
Nice.
And so, yeah, they've got the multi-generational family for sure.
Sure.
You know, but I tell you what, I take a lot of pride in the fact that they've been with me. You know, some of my clients have been with me since the 90s.
That speaks volumes.
I take a lot of pride in that. And I met with one the other day that's been with me not quite that long, about 15 years. And he said, well, I've got nothing but good things to report. You know, so
beautiful.
It's been a good ride. And now, of course, it doesn't hurt that he's got a 10-bag return on Apple. So, at least before this week's market, it was up 1,050%. So giving a little bit back, but hey, that's okay.
Right. Speaking of the market, Kevin, it's been a week, and I know I was hearing you react to when the president was talking yesterday. Did I hear that from there? Here. Well, I thought so. I mean, I was hearing a lot of people yelling.
Oh my gosh! You know what? I was yelling pretty loud, I gotta say.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. How could you not? I mean, no matter what side you're on, some of the stuff to come out was amazing.
Oh, well, guys.
And not really in a good way.
Not in a good way. Guys, we're going to pay more for everything. That's the bottom line. The estimated new car cost is going to jump $5,000. The estimated new house is going to cost between $10,000 and $12,000 more. If you're thinking about buying a pair of Nikes, that price probably just doubled. So if you want Lululemon or you want to buy, Hoka or Hookah or...
Well, yeah,
Deckers, what they make. All of those stocks, by the way, are getting crushed, guys. And that's because these are some of the companies that yes, they operate in China. They do a lot of manufacturing in China. But they moved a lot of their operations to, like, Cambodia and Thailand and Vietnam.
Right.
And when they did it, that was considered to be a smart move. Oh, hey, you're smart. You're doing what they want you to do by moving out of China. Well, guess what? We just slapped something like a 50% tariff on Vietnam. And Cambodia and every country on the planet is now hit with at least a 10% tariff. Some people are saying China is now over 70% tariffs for some products because what they just announced comes into 53 or 54%, but there was also two rounds of 10% tariffs that were put on them previously. So we're all still trying to dissect everything, but anybody look at the stock market this week, It's like, it's basically, Black Thursday, I'm going to call it.
Oh, yeah. Goodness gracious.
You know, you got a 1,000-point drop on NASDAQ, which is almost 6% in one day. If you looked at Restoration Hardware, symbols RH, almost cut in half, guys. It's down 40% in one day. And so they got hit with a double whammy of, they missed on their guidance, revenue and earnings guidance just came out right before the tariff announcement came out. So they got hit with a 1-2 punch, let's say. And so the markets are looking scary. We've broken all support, unfortunately. So this is why a few weeks back I started talking about something called the Death Cross. And if you guys, anyone was listening, the Death Cross has to do with technical analysis. And the simplest explanation is when your most recent trading period prices, let's say 50-day moving average, goes below your 200-day moving average. So that's the average price of the last 50 days going below the average price of the last 200 days. And if you think about it, what you want to see, if you look at a chart, what you want to see is the chart going from the lower left corner up at an angle to the upper right corner, right? And that means over time, it's steadily going higher in price. So when your short-term, near-term price goes below the longer-term price, that's a bad sign. And so that's why when the 50-day goes below the 200-day moving average, they call that the death cross because it's a massive trend change signal, which I pointed it out a few weeks back, and I said that more conservative investors probably should start raising cash. I talked about how I was moving some of my older clients, retired clients, I was reducing their stock holdings and adding to their short-term bond holdings, corporate bonds, muni bonds, mortgage-backed bonds. And some of the mortgage-backed securities, I'm still getting over 7%.
And wow.
So with very little volatility. Total volatility on the year is between 3 and 4%. So versus, you know, the indexes, the S&P has an average of, 17% or something in one year from high to low. So right now, guys, it's important. If you're worried or concerned, you need to take a look at your allocation, which is something else I talked about in the last few weeks. But considering what's happened with the market, and we will get on to some of the, some of the ways to save on taxes. But considering the market, these tariffs, some people are calling them the worst in a century. Others going back to World War II, others going to the 50s. So pick your time frame. These tariffs are going to make the U.S. one of the most unattractive developed countries in the world to do business. And so the question is, is he going to stick with what he's saying now is that these are permanent? That's what he's saying. Now, I personally have trouble, as I go out on a limb here, I have trouble knowing when to believe Trump and when not to, okay? I didn't believe him when he called COVID a Democratic hoax. I didn't believe that. That was a lie. I didn't listen to him when he said take ivermectin or drink bleach, which would have been bad advice. But now, since he started talking about tariffs a while back, we were supposed to know that that was true. So I don't know how, because there's a lot of historical evidence that makes me question whether he's going to whether what he says is true or not. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody else can dispute that. Fine, go ahead. The big one obviously is about the election, which what did he lose? 60 court cases that said no, you did not win that election. But yet he continues to say he did. So I never thought he'd get reelected. I thought his character ruled him out. I didn't think a convicted felon was good for our country. But anybody that did vote for him, I hope you like the results. Because this is what you asked for, I guess.
Got to admit, it's been a pretty crazy first 100 days. No matter who was in the office, it's crazy.
It's insane. I think it's developing into a constitutional crisis.
It's certainly something that, in my lifetime, I've never seen anything this crazy. To be honest,
I don't recall ever seeing anything this crazy, but I'm going to say I don't see how it's that big a stretch from the last 10 years with Trump. I mean, I've never seen an insurrection, whatever the hell you want to call January 6th. I've never seen anything like that before. I always thought anybody that attacked our Capitol would be our enemy, not from within. And so I think his history of behavior, to me, that's why I didn't vote for him. I've never voted for him, and I never will. I just don't trust his character, and if I can't have a leader that has integrity, I can't get behind him. And the fact calling out the military and the different things he's done, I just think are horrendous. And so now he's decided, that we're being treated unfairly. Guys, just pay attention and look at where this is going to go, because I believe where this is going, I believe all this pain that they told us, yeah, there might be some pain, is so they can give more tax breaks to damn billionaires. That's what they want to do. That's what this is all about. So it's screwing everybody else to give rich people lower tax rates. And the fact to me is, if you're really going to raise, they're estimating this could raise $500 or $600 billion a year in tariffs, okay, that the consumers are going to be paying, but it could raise that for the government. Why don't they say we're going to use that to pay down the debt?
Yeah, why aren't we talking about that?
That's what I'm getting at, is if they were truly Republicans, the Republicans of yesteryear, then they would be talking about the debt, and they would not be going along with any more deficit financing, which means every quarter we're spending more than we're bringing in. Every month we're spending more than we're bringing in. Okay, that's the deficit spending. We're spending more than we're bringing in, so we have to borrow trillions of dollars every – it's like $1 trillion every few months that we have to borrow just to keep pace with things they've already committed to. And so we're continuing to go deeper and deeper in the hole. And if they get – and if the Republicans pass this budget that they're trying to say these tax cuts won't cost us anything, it's complete bullshit, okay? The fact is our debt is going to double in the next couple of decades if this continues. And the standard of living for your children and grandchildren, I can't imagine what it's going to look like unless they start to act responsibly. And so that's what's driving me crazy. You know, I when I was younger, I voted Republican with Reagan and those guys because I felt that they truly had a concern about the long-term financial strength of our nation. Well, now, two out of three rating agencies have already downgraded the U.S. debt. Now, this happened years ago in some cases. I believe Moody's is the only holdout that still has the U.S. as a AAA. And I'm thinking, in fact, there was articles coming out recently that Moody's is contemplating lowering our credit rating because of the massive debt that nobody's paying any attention to. And so that could very well increase our borrowing costs going forward. All right. So right now we're paying over $1 trillion in interest every year. All right. And as interest rates, if they go higher, then obviously that payment's going to be higher because we're continuing to borrow more money. So at the same time we're borrowing more money, we're paying a higher interest rate for that money. And it's going to snowball, right? For an individual, maybe that's what maybe he's trying to bankrupt the country because he's bankrupted his businesses half a dozen times. Maybe that's what he wants to do for the country. But God, what is that going to do to the globe? What's that going to happen to our financial systems? So, I am very concerned. I think if you're an aggressive investor and you're young and you want to take a shot, maybe do a little bit of buying, a little bit. All right. But if you're anything other than that, I would say to be cautious. Just start looking at things that you might like to buy. But I think you need to give the dust some time to settle for anybody that's not aggressive. Okay. Then you need to give the dust a little bit of time to settle because I expect retaliation. China, Japan, and Korea last week were reportedly talking together so they could respond jointly together when this happens. Just like the European Union, there's what, 27 or 28 countries? They are going to respond together. And one of the things they announced as they're talking about increasing their military spending is that they don't want to buy the military equipment from the U.S., okay? Which Rubio, our Secretary of State, immediately came back and said, wait a minute, whoa, guys, we still want you to buy our stuff, though. And so this is the mess we're getting into. I think we've become the laughing stock of the world, to be honest, Steve. And so that's where we're at. But guys, I think if you're a long-term investor, if they start to negotiate with other countries, which they should have done first, in my opinion, is that everybody should have gotten together and established a trade agreement and then come out with the results that everybody's agreed to. So we don't have to go through this daily whipsaw back and forth crap. And I think it's outrageous. You know what? He's out golfing right now, by the way. And no, he doesn't care if the price of a car goes higher. He was reported as that the other day. So anyway, it's a very uncertain time economically. A lot of analysts are now calling for a recession. I started calling for it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that really is a big thing. You know, and the thing is, I saw one story that says, you know, we're probably already in one.
I think we are, actually. The Atlanta Fed actually thinks we are. The Atlanta Fed, you know, there's several regional Federal Reserve offices.
Yes.
The Atlanta Fed came out a couple of weeks ago projecting, I believe it was negative 1.6% growth for Q1, the one we just ended.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the good news, okay, if you want to look for good news, the good news is that typically bear markets and corrections usually last an average of 8 or 9 months, okay?
Okay.
So if you look at it, because I do think we're going into a bear market, and NASDAQ is almost there. NASDAQ is now down over 17% from its high, and technically 20% is your definition of a bear market. So it's not far away. I think if retaliatory tariffs, if those come out, which I would fully expect, you know, what's the next shoe that's going to drop, right? And so I'll tell you what I told my wife. Anything that we need to buy for household supplies, go buy it now. Buy it today or tomorrow. Because when they go through their inventory and they buy new stuff at Walmart or wherever you shop, it's going to be more expensive. Okay? So anything that does not go bad, doesn't spoil, I told her to stock up on it. So paper towels, paper plates.
Sure.
You know, all that stuff. Cleansers, whatever, bleach, laundry detergent. Anything and everything that you use in the house that will not go bad. My suggestion is to buy it now and stock up on more of it now than you usually do, because I believe in all likelihood everything's going to get more expensive pretty quickly.
Sure. Well, I mean, we were talking before the show, and I know you're a fan of Cramer. I think we all are in this business. I think we've got a little bit of some insight from Jim Cramer. Are we here?
Yes. You know what? I'd like to. Yes.
Here we go.
I think that the market's going to – there's always money to go somewhere. I think the money's going to go heavily to the American electric powers, the Entergies, utilities, to the companies that have pricing power, like a Procter, J&J, and it'll flee the areas where it's so hard for companies to get out of areas. And I'm looking at, so I don't want to be too pejorative here, there's the luckless and the lucky. And the luckless are companies that move from China to Vietnam, China to Thailand, China to other areas where they thought they were allowed to go, to Mexico. And the poster boy there is indeed Nike. I don't want to be so trite as to say Nike as we see it. There are some companies that are not in the crosshairs that are going down. And there are some companies that are in the crosshairs that are going up. So we've got a lot of mistaken trading right now.
That's exactly what you said a little bit ago, Kevin.
Yes, you know what? Mistaken trading, yes. And you know what? When I was younger in my career, and I started doing this in 1990,
okay.
So I've been through several, you know, good markets, bad markets, whatever you want to call them. And what I saw early on is it seems like it's a base emotion that when you've been watching a stock or watching a market and you see it drop like this, because of we've had a mentality, the recent, what do they call it? In psychology, they call it recency bias. And that is a tendency to think whatever happened recently is likely to continue. And so recently, every time there's been a sell-off in the market, buyers have stepped in and given it support. We didn't even see a decline of, I'm pretty sure in 2024, we never had a 10% decline. You know, and so every time the market sold off, buyers came in and bought it. And so there's a tendency to think, because that's the way it's been happening for the last couple of years, that it's going to keep going that way. And I think that's sucking in, okay, for lack of a better way of saying it.
Yeah, I get it.
I think that's what some people are doing now, because they're saying, holy cow, the market's down, you know, 4, 5, 6% in one day. I should step in and buy. And my gut tells me, we might have a short-term relief rally. So in other words, maybe we bounce back in the next couple of days or the next week. We bounce back and we go up a little bit more. But then my gut's telling me we're going to turn around and go back down and break the low that we set today and or this week. And so I think that's why I said if you're really aggressive and if you're young, because if you're aggressive, you got to look at this like gambling. You know, look at it like you're playing blackjack. Look at it like the casino, because that's what it is right now in the short term. All right?
Yep.
And if you're young – and the reason why, if you're young, you know, if you're in your 30s, you got 30 more years to work, that's plenty of time for the market to come back, okay? Sometimes it has taken several years. I think it was, you know, depending if you bought in 07, then it probably took you 6, 7 years to get back to break even. If you bought in 2000, it took you 11 or 12 years to get back to break even. So it's all about the timing, right? And so if you're young, then you probably should start buy a little bit here. Or maybe next week buy a little bit, you know, maybe a third of whatever you have put on the side to buy stocks, buy a third of it. And then give it a little bit more time, because Lord knows he's going to come out and change his mind on something. And, you know, who knows who's going to offer to negotiate. Maybe there's a deal that he can reduce some of these outrageous tariffs, okay? But the problem is we just don't know. We just don't know if that's going to happen or not. And so, if you are a more moderate or cautious investor, I would say to just sit on your hands. Don't do anything right now. And I think if you're comfortable holding your positions, I would hold those positions. But you've got to understand they could very well, and it's likely they go lower before they come back. What I'm getting at is that down, and also we're going into a calendar weakness. The market is strongest between like October and April, and it's weakest basically where we're in now. That's why the old sell in May and go away. That's where that came from, because the bankers on Wall Street, they sell everything in May, they go to the Hamptons, and they come back in, you know, September, and they start buying again.
Sure.
And so we've got a seasonal weakness period. We've got technicals that have all broken down. We've got money more calls for a recession. We've got most likely slowing down or stagnant growth. And we could be faced with inflation, which is your stagflation period, which is not good for the markets. So that's why I say be cautious. Let's let it unwind a little bit. Let's get more information. See where this shakes out. If they are able to, you know, pass tax cuts and save the billionaires more money, then the market will like that. The market will look at that positively. At the same time, if the Fed actually does start to cut interest rates, which they might do because the economy might slow down pretty drastically and go negative, and that might force the Fed to actually lower interest rates, which would be a bullish signal for the stock market. So there's a lot of conflicting signals out there, but I do think if those things pan out, I think once we get into the summer or fall, that we could start to see some nice recovery. So that's my opinion on where things are at, but I'm in no hurry to buy anything.
Well, okay, so what do we do now in terms of to protect ourselves? Is it about diversification? Is it really just about going to cash? How do we know?
That's the thing. It's impossible to know in advance. It's easy to look back in history and say, well, why didn't you just buy some puts? Options that you make money on the downside.
Sure.
And so it's kind of like, well, is the horse already out of the barn? You know, or you know what I'm saying?
I do.
and that's what we don't know. But that's why I was shifting some more conservative people to. That's why I was reducing their stocks and adding to the bond holdings, because bonds are holding up just fine. If you're not feeling confident about stocks, to me, that means add to your bond holdings. And like I said, short term, I'm talking short term bonds, not long term bonds, short term bonds. And by short term, I mean less than, let's say, 7 years. Even Bill, BIL is the ticker symbol. That's 1 to 3 month treasuries. I think that's paying 4.5, something like that. Which isn't a bad rate for something that is very, very low risk, if not risk free. So. Yeah. I think and I've told some of my younger clients too, by the way, and these are people that were, these guys, some of them just bought a house, and so they're asking me, well, should we keep putting money into the market, or can I stop putting money in the market and use some of that money to furnish my house? And I said, furnish the house, okay? And that's what I told them. I said, I told them the same thing. In my opinion, it looks like we're going to see several months of back and forth lousy market. Maybe once we get into the late summer or fall, we've got some, maybe it's smoother sailing by that time, and we'll have more clarity on if continuing the tax cuts from 2017, if that's going to happen. And then if it does, prepare your kids and grandkids, because the debt in the future is, the national debt's going to double if they pass that. And so if they do it, I'd be very concerned about generations to come. And so I would make that part of your planning, to do whatever you can to set them up so they have more wealth, because they're going to need it. So that, unfortunately, is my opinion right now. But you know what? How about something else? How about something you could do that might make sense for it, right?
Sure.
And we talked about tax, how to utilize, how to look at taxes, right? It's not just what you make. Because like I tell a lot of people about their 401k, their IRA, they say, I got $1 million in my 401k. I'm good. I say, well, I got to remind you, remember, that's not all your money, right?
Right.
That's what, 20, 30, 40% federal government, state government, depending on your tax rates and where you live. So my recommendation, I've talked many times on the show, is take advantage of a Roth IRA. If your company has a Roth 401k, then by all means, take advantage of it. If you're not sure how much to put in each one, then just make it simple. Just put half in each one. Put half in after tax and half pre-tax. And different years, you can look at where you're at on the income threshold. If doing more Roth is going to put you up in a higher tax bracket, maybe you don't do it that year. But that's a good way to look at it, because if you can build up your tax-free accounts, if you're able to set up a health savings account, an HSA, that is truly the best tax-free account. As long as you use it for medical reasons, qualified medical reasons, then it's truly tax-free. And so I'm a big advocate of those, and I also advocate letting the money in the tax-free accounts grow as long as you can. That's not where I suggest taking it from first, unless you have to, because you're getting tax-free growth. So my goal is to wait until my 70s is when I plan on being the first time I start to take money out of my tax-free accounts.
Okay. Wow.
And so that's my opinion on the situation. Of course, it varies for individual circumstances.
Well, sure, of course. But at the same time, you know, you still have to be the voice of reason through all of this, and you are, and that's the good thing. That's why we keep coming back to you.
Oh, you know what? I appreciate that. And that's one thing I'm not saying to panic.
Right. What I mean. I don't get that sense from you.
No, it's not a reason to panic. It's actually a reason to be calm. This is one of the that's why I said I believe you should sit on your hands. I don't think you should do anything, because I think a reaction today in the midst of this happening is an emotional, it's a visceral reaction.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, believe me, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, just take a step back, take a breath, maybe take a walk around the block or something. And, you know, that's what I used to tell my brokers. Just take 20 minutes and go walk around the block. Okay?
Yeah.
And just clear out your head, come back, and look back in history, guys. And you realize there have been dozens and dozens of corrections. I think going back to 1950, something like 75% of the corrections of 10%, okay, did not turn into a bear market. Now, about a quarter of the time they did, all right? And so it went down. So in other words, we went down farther. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, because I think what we're looking at here, in my opinion, we're looking at slower growth, higher inflation, and we're looking at higher tariffs, which means I think analysts are going to start cutting earnings and revenue estimates for companies in the upcoming few quarters, and that should put more downward pressure on the stock. And so that's what I anticipate seeing. The question is whether the opposite catalyst, like if the Federal Reserve does cut interest rates, would that be enough to offset the declining earnings estimates? Would continuing the tax cuts, would it be enough to offset declining productivity? And that's what none of us know, right? Mm-hmm. We'll know it after it happens, but to predict it is a totally different story.
Sure.
But I do think if you look back in history, what history tells you is that the market has always at some point gone on to hit a new high.
Right.
And so if you're intent on leaving money in the market indefinitely, and I've got some clients that are in their 80s that have money in the market because they intend on leaving that to the kids because they want to take advantage of the step up in basis. All right. Because the person I mentioned earlier has got a 10-bagger on Apple, right? He's up over 1,000%. If he should pass away and his kids inherit that position on Apple, they won't owe a penny in stock. I mean, in taxes, they won't owe anything in taxes because they get a step up in tax basis. All right. If he sells it, he's paying tax on that whole gain. And so it depends on your perspective, on your goals, your objectives, your risk tolerance. But that is a strategy a lot of people have. They say, you know what? I'm in my 80s. I've got huge gains in these. You know, what do you think about me just not touching it and leaving it to my kids?
Yeah.
And you know that it's impossible to answer for sure. But I'm comfortable with Apple. That it's a solid investment for the long term. I do think the valuation is high. I'm not saying it can't go lower. All right. But I do think if you look at it, let's say 5 years from now, I think it'll be higher than it is now.
All right.
And so that's how I'm looking at those things. Guys, well, one thing to consider when we're talking about taxes, if you're thinking about doing a Roth conversion, the next couple of months might be a really good time to do that because you'll be converting your stocks when they're down. Okay?
Ooh, great idea.
Give that some thought. Does it make sense? If you want to do a conversion, it definitely makes more sense now than it did in January. All right? So consider that. I would try to do that. If you want to, I would try to convert some money to a Roth and do it while we're down. That's a smart time to do it because that's what you're going to pay tax on.
Sure. Well, here, I was just looking up, the Motley Fool says that there have been roughly 39 official corrections in the S&P since 1950, and then you go back, data from Yardeni Instant Research says that going back to 1928, those tables do support the concept that aftermarket corrections, the market trends back upwards.
Yes, and it, exactly. And
but it's going to get bad before it gets better.
It very well could get bad, and I do think it's going to get worse before it gets better personally. Again, it's impossible to know without being able to forecast when somebody says whatever they say. But like I said, the progression I see it going through, seasonally weak, slower growth, higher inflation, lower, you know, analysts cutting earnings estimates, those all should put downward pressure on the stock market. And we're probably going to have a reset of valuation too. In other words, the market was trading at 21 times earnings, price over earnings. And historically, it's been more like 17. And I think if we're going into a lower growth environment, unless we see interest rate cuts, then I would expect that the multiples are going to contract. So I would think maybe 17 or 18 PE makes more sense than 2021. And that also would be another 10% down. So that's what it looks like in my through my eyes. But by all means, guys, feel free to reach out, take a look at your IRA, see if it makes sense to convert something to a Roth while your positions are down. That's the time. Like if you've got a position in a stock and you want to hold on to it for a long time, give some thought to whether it makes sense to convert that to a Roth, because then when it comes back, it'll be tax-free. All right, so that's something I would take a hard look at. And if you're a long-term investor, maybe nibble at a little bit right now, but then just wait and give it a few weeks or a month, and then maybe start monthly investing, adding to your positions. And if we go down further, then I would keep on adding for long-term investors.
And again, but yet you remain somewhat optimistic, I sense.
I'm optimistic if we can get through all this.
So we got to get through the next few months. We got to figure that out.
We got to get through. I'm going to say the next 5-6 months.
All right, 5-6 months. Good.
I'm hoping they can formalize trade agreements that have lasting staying power, so we can't be doing this back and forth crap anymore. Yeah. We need to come to agreement so everybody knows the rules, they know the playing field, and they know that they're not going to open a factory or change their supply chain, only to find out a month later that now someplace else is getting a tariff slapped on it too.
Yeah.
So that's the problem, is nobody can plan because the rules are changing every day. And so we need stability and we need certainty. Hopefully we get that over the next handful of months, and then the market can start to rebuild and start to think about going back to new highs.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making an investment decision.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.